World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
Hey everybody, welcome today. I'm so excited that you're with me as we dive into God's Word. You know, a while ago, God began to deal with me about my teaching and preaching because I'm a pastor, which means I stand in front of our churches and one church or the other teaching the Word of God. And I have a tendency to make sure that all of the new people get it. And if you're not careful, you end up just sharing basics and never diving in. And I began to change my teaching a while ago so that as I covered quickly some of the basics, that I began to dive into the meat and help the people who were attending to grow in God's Word. So they didn't stay in kind of just the basic tenets of the faith, but they began to understand. And ever since that day, the Word of God has excited me even more. And today I want to talk to you, and I believe that it's going to help so many people. And I love the teaching of the Word, and I love looking from the book of, well, the New Testament, because Jesus is an example of you and I walking on the planet in our new covenant. And the book of Acts is an example of the apostles walking out and walking through the like Jesus. But did you know when you study faith and you study the Word of God that the revelation of what Jesus did from the cross to the throne, which is all through the epistles, how that when he died, he took your sin and then he became a curse. It says that he was buried with the wicked. Then he arose again and he exchanged his life for your life, and you and I are in him. You know, none of these things are taught clearly in the book of Acts as the disciples are going forth. And so as Paul received this incredible revelation from Jesus, and then he began to go into the Old Testament and find, under the inspiration of Holy Spirit, find all of these passages of scriptures that when they were literally written in a mystery, and you know, they weren't all put together. There was like a verse here and six verses over there and a phrase here. And as you begin to pull these all together and see the magnificent new covenant and what it is Jesus did, because most people only know the historical Jesus, and that's crucial to know that Jesus walked the planet, that more than the Bible writes about Jesus, there are other pieces of literature that talk about him, that mention him. And so as we look at this, but then nobody knows when he died, what happened in those days that he was missing, in those days that no one saw him, when that body laid there in the tomb. And when he said, you know, don't touch me yet, I've got to go. And we don't understand. But yet through the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets, we get beautiful pieces, enough pieces to know what he was doing when nobody saw him. And so I want to dive into some of this and just show you some of the teaching that you need, because literally, I have noticed people in our church, and thousands of people attend Springs Church, and as I watch them grow, one message has helped people who maybe have been raised in other denominations, other belief systems, and so they got a lot of Word in them, but they just can't seem to connect the dots to make something work. Like they don't have the peace, they don't have the joy, they don't see miracles in their lives, and they'll be listening to certain messages, and I don't know what their background is, so all of a sudden they'll hear a message. And in the old TVs, it was kind of like just moving the dial a little bit, and this snowy, awful picture goes bing, and it's perfectly clear. It's like they get a revelation as pieces of God's Word come into place, and they begin to understand how faith works with grace. that righteousness, where does it fit in? And then, and so many people will teach on the renewing of the mind, that's all they're going to teach on. Others teach on faith, that's all they're going to teach on. Others teach on grace, that's all they're going to teach on. Others teach on sanctification, and that's all they're, but I just notice so few people tie them together the way the Bible does in this beautiful aha, and we begin to walk out this stunning gospel. There is power in the gospel, and the Bible says, though, that there are ways that you can limit the gospel, and it has no power in your life. And so it's crucial for us to learn these things as we go into the Word of God. Now, I've written different things down so I can say them the way they just came to me, and the way that as I was looking at things and studying, and I want you to understand that Jesus is God's gift to the world, and he's never taken that gift back. Jesus is still a gift. That means the world owns Jesus. It's a crazy way to say it, but the world owns Jesus. No, whether or not it acknowledges that ownership, you know, it's up to them. But all that Jesus did in that when he died and he was the substitute, meaning like the lamb in the Old Testament was the substitute for their sin, and he took the punishment as well. The lamb was killed and it died in their place. Jesus was the Lamb of God to the world. He was the substitution. He died for you in your place so you wouldn't have to die. And so he is the substitutionary sacrifice, and he's literally the private property of every individual because Jesus did it just for you. The sinner does not need to beg God to forgive him. All those who don't know, when we say sinner, it literally simply means someone who has not believed on Jesus. Okay, that's what a sinner is. The word has come to mean that any kind of sin can make you miss heaven, but as you study the word, when you believe on Jesus and you choose him, you choose to believe on him as Lord and Savior, that is when you are a new creation. You can't clean up the world. Stop preaching at all their sin and just share the beautiful good news of the gospel, which is if you meet Jesus, this incredible, amazing, beautiful, stunning Jesus, that you are going to just fall in love. You're going to feel so loved. You're going to feel so special. You're going to feel so important. You know, as I grew up, there were certain people that had an impact on my life in some way, teaching, my coaches. But then there was people who looked at me and valued me. Now, that word value is a synonym for the love the Bible talks about. They looked at me and they valued me. And for the time that they were in my life, maybe growing up, maybe as a young man, they would say things to me that valued me. And I look back now, and it was such an incredible thing that took place. You and I need to know that Jesus is in love with us, and we don't. So those who don't know Christ don't have to beg God, please save me, please save me. It is a gift that has already been done. The work has already been accomplished. Every person who does not know Christ out there owns this Jesus. I know I'm putting it in a really crazy vernacular, but they own Jesus. He is a gift that God has never taken away from them, but their free will is so powerful that Jesus will never force himself or make them take this gift, so they have to choose him. But when we understand it this way, it gives us an understanding of how to walk in miracles as a believer.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Do you ever feel like there must be more to life? Do you feel you're capable of so much more? Do you long to see God's miraculous power working through your life? If you answered yes to any of those questions, this series by Leon Fontaine is for you. In this three-part series, discover how Holy Spirit can work through you and how you can gain clear direction for your future.
Join this team, pray for us, believe with us, and Destined for More. This series is about the fact that so many people hit a ceiling and they don't go any further. And we begin to help them deal and dive in an amazing way to rise up and to do greater things.
You are destined for more. Experience the excitement, passion, and joy of being led by the Spirit. Get your copy of Destined for More today.
So the work has already been accomplished. Any person who, and every born-again believing denomination believes this, that when an unsaved person calls out and believes on Jesus, they are saved. I've never heard anybody who thinks they have to beg and beg and beg and beg till finally God decides it. It is an instantaneous, Jesus did it. It's theirs for the asking the second, the microsecond they choose and believe and ask him to come in. It's a done deal. Now, the problem is that this work has been accomplished for them, but so has all the rest of it. And here is where many believers, they fail. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you will have all sufficiency in all things, and that you may abound to every good work." God is able to make all grace abound. Now, grace is his ability that comes to you as a favor. Everyone thinks, a lot of people just think that, well, the grace is just God's favor. But if I say to you, I'm going to do you a favor, you're going to go, what favor? And so we need to understand that this grace, now, it comes to you as a favor, unearned, nothing you can do to get it. It's a favor from God. And this grace is the favor that he's giving you and I is the ability of Christ. As Jesus is in this world, so are we. So God is able to make incredible grace abound towards you and I, his ability as a favor, so that you, and then it says, now people, well, Leon, that's just to become saved and go to heaven. No, no, no. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:8 that so that you would have all sufficiency in all things and that you could abound to every good work. Now, his sufficiency is according to the promises that are in the Bible. And so as you look at the promises of God, you get a chance. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 1, if we get to this, it talks about that we have the nature, the divine nature of God when we are born again in our spirit. But now if we want to see all of God's promises on healing, all of God's promises on prosperity, all of God's promises for peace, for joy, for protection, for generations to serve him and to walk in the blessing and the favor of God, then all of these promises is how. But how do those promises do that? Well, the Bible says that all the promises now under this new covenant, because of what Jesus has done for you and I, are yes and amen. Meaning, in the old covenant, you had to do works. There were certain things. Every promise, put it this way, every promise had an if. If my people will do this, I will do this. But when Jesus came and became our substitute, and he took our sin, and he took our curse, he took our punishment, he took our death, and then it says he died in our place. And then when he rose again, he literally gave us his life. And we begin to enjoy this substitution, this great exchange. He took our life, we took his life. This is where people don't get it. It's not just about heaven, though that is the most profound thing, eternity with Christ in heaven. But here on this planet, it literally is telling us here and in many other places that God's grace is to help you abound in everything. Well, Leon, what does that mean? His grace will help you with your health beyond what you can do on your own with vitamins and operations and doctors. Now, you do what you can, for sure. But his grace will go far beyond that and give you health and healing. When it comes to prosperity, when it comes to everybody has a career, they don't want to fail. They want to enjoy this career. Well, you rising to the top in your career is crucial. You're to be the head and not the tail. And so as you rise up, you get a chance to influence more people for Christ. So he's going to give you all sufficiency in your career. Now, this word sufficiency, by the way, is not talking about your sufficiency. He's talking about God's sufficiency. Like when we start talking about the favor and the blessing of God, a lot of the teachings in God's word is that he's going to meet your needs according to his riches. I'll give you an example. If a little 15-year-old girl came walking up to me on the street holding a little baby, and she said, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but I don't have any milk for my little baby." And she says, "Could I just have $2.50? And I'm going to go buy a liter of milk for my baby. I would appreciate it so much." Now, she has told me what she thinks her need is, $2.50. What am I going to do with that little 15-year-old girl with a baby in one arm that has been kicked out of either her home or no one's looking after her? And I don't care what kind of a mess that she has created or done, whether she's on drugs or prostitution or whatever it is, I see a need. Now, am I going to say, "Well, let me just count out $2 and just a minute, that's a 20. Let me give you two quarters, here's $2.50. No, I'm not going to meet her need according to her need. I'm going to meet her need according to my riches. And I've got connections. I'll be phoning up people and saying, "Listen, I've got someone who needs a house and a bed. I've got someone here who needs a home to live in to raise this little baby up. Can I help you in it?" Maybe it's a woman's protection shelter. Maybe it's a this. But I can phone up all these numbers. And I can literally, on the spot, you know, go to a machine and pull out hundreds of dollars. Now, I might not give it to her. I might give it to the place I'm taking her on her behalf. I might pay for that bed for a month or two. I might raise money to help her out. I mean, I can meet her needs according to my riches, my influence, my connections. I can look after that 15-year-old mom with that baby. Can you see God the same way? He's looking at you, and we're so limited. We think, "Well, you know, I mean, God's been good to me. I can't expect him to heal my skin disease," or, you know, I mean, no, listen to me. You need to understand and that this issue of once you're born again, okay? And here's one of the things that I want to really drive home to those who have been raised in the faith movement, like I have, and who understand faith and are just so excited about it, but maybe haven't been able to get it to work in your life like you should. Some people, they had faith to receive Christ as their Savior and Lord, and then they think they have to keep increasing their faith and building their faith in order to get a miracle, in order to get a healing, in order to begin to prosper, in order to believe God to restore their marriage or to get rid of their anger and all this stuff, and they don't get it. This faith that has been delivered to the saints, the Bible talks about that, you know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about that to those of like precious faith. He's talking to those who have obtained it. He didn't say you went out and earned it. When you hear the gospel, the very teaching of the word of God that someone shared with you, how Jesus touched their life and how he died for them, and however this person presented the gospel, the preaching of the word causes faith to rise up in that person. And as the faith rises up in that person, they've got a choice to make. Do I accept it? Do I mix my faith with this message and say, "Jesus, I accept you. I believe you. I choose you." Or are they going to say no? Now, if they accept him, this faith that comes from the word, that is a saving kind of faith, it does this miracle. And then, listen to me, then this grace brings everything you need in. As you study this out, you've got the righteousness of Jesus. You've got the faith of Jesus. So this Romans 12:3, this measure of faith comes in. And we think that as you read certain things out of context, it's just a little seed and, "Oh, it's going to take me years to believe God for a healing. It's going to take me years to clean up all my negative poverty thinking." That's the way Christians look at it. And it's because they don't understand that God is able to make all grace. His ability is going to abound. The word there means to explode. Abound is far beyond anything you need, could ask or think. And that it's going to bring sufficiency in every area. Why? because you believed on Jesus for salvation. And that word salvation doesn't just mean saved from hell. It means saved from the entire, if God can save you from an eternity in hell, it's nothing to save you from hell's effects. By that I mean the evil person, Satan's effect on the planet. He brought sickness, not God. He brought discouragement, not God. He brought depression, unhappiness. He brought it here. He brought poverty. God put man in the Garden of Eden, not the desert of Eden. Like, we just think so wrong. And so I love teaching people how special they are, how amazing they are, that the price has been paid so that their faith wouldn't be, again, in their own ability. I'm meeting all these people who have been kind of raised in faith, and somehow without them knowing it, they have slid back into works. And now they think, and they've got certain language to fluff it up, that it's what I'm doing that is going to bring. No, I want you to know, you are going to understand this so easily and quickly. And it's like that TV button, you know, that you just move a little bit, and all of a sudden, all this blurry, can't see it, can't hear it, goes, and this revelation, you're going to go, it's done. It's done. So when it comes to our faith in Jesus, this faith, if you are born again, you are filled with precious faith, not just a little dabble do you that you got. This faith is this gift from Jesus to you. And all this stuff that Jesus won for you and the great exchange, when Jesus gave you his life, his peace, his joy, he talks about his peace, his joy. Do you think he couldn't give you his faith? You think he couldn't just make you arise up with this incredible? Of course he could. And here is where people struggle. Where the Church of Jesus Christ needs to have a revelation and just spend some time on is the new covenant. Now, the new agreement is the revelation that is in the epistles. And so from the book of Galatians and on, as you find a Bible that you can read, like grab the Living Bible. I like the Living Bible beside the King James, or beside the New King James, and reading them back and forth, because it's astounding as you, and that's how I encourage many of you to read these things. And then as you do, you're going to find, and maybe go on to our area and just find other messages where I teach people the cross to the throne, or why is the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus to the throne. Why is that such an astounding thing? Because all of those things took place. Now, we know he died. That is, even the historical Jesus that people studied know that. You know, he was stabbed in the side, and the blood and water flowed out of his chest so big you could put your hand into the wound. And the disciples and tons of witnesses saw those. But this exchange that took place is the life of Jesus is yours. And people say, well, Leon, you know, we're not Jesus. Don't say that, because Jesus came to the planet to show you and I what God was like. Because you know why? Because a lot of the religious people at that time, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, had such a legalistic, arrogant, self-centered look at it that Jesus went, okay, you don't get it. And God had his son go. And for a few years before he died, he walked the planet revealing to you and I how we could walk the planet. Meaning, he said, no one takes my life. He says, I freely give it. He wasn't sick until he took our sickness. He wasn't poor. Well, the Bible says that Jesus had no place to lay his head, and he was talking to somebody who wanted to join him. Now think about those times as you traveled from city to city and you were out and walking around. And we know, by the way, through the study of the scriptures, Jesus had a house. Okay, he was the eldest and he had a mom. He had a house to stay, and he was just never home, rarely home. He was out and about the Father's business. So where's he going to sleep? Well, he'll sleep wherever they stop. And so some of these things we've taken far too out there. So this Jesus, he did not know lack. I mean, if he had to pay some taxes, he caught one fish, took a gold coin out of its mouth, and paid his taxes. If he had a party with 4,000 or 5,000 men with all their wives and kids, he got 15, 20, 30,000 people. He just miraculously met all those needs. Jesus did not have lack in his life. And so as we look at this topic of you as a born-again believer, and when you accept Christ as your Savior and Lord, that faith, all the rest of the teaching, like you can't find in the epistles the Apostle Paul urging people to believe. You can't find in the epistles Paul urging people, or Peter urging them to have faith. Come on, keep working on your faith. No, because it's an understood thing that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, that faith came into you. This precious faith that Peter talks about, this measure of faith that comes to you and I, that Paul is talking about, it's just an expected thing. And so you don't see them trying to work on your faith. No, actually what they told us is go find out what Jesus did. And when your brain opens up to realize what the cross to the throne means to you, then you just start to speak his word, act on his word. And Mark 4 is the most stunning thing. The Bible says if you don't understand this parable, Jesus says it, you won't understand any of them. The key to this miraculous life is Mark 4, showing you and I, you simply speak his word, believe it, don't stop, do it every day. And then it begins to plant into your heart and it grows harvests of healing, blessing, peace, joy, prosperity, a phenomenal confidence for the rest of your life. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior, come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.